Man, it's good to see y'all this morning. I promise you that I apologize for not moving around like I normally do, but since this little thing happened, my stamina is not quite back yet after surgery, so I'm getting there. It's a workout. I never knew how having to do everything with the opposite hand was, how strenuous it was. I mean, it's crazy. You know, I mean, shaving, whoo. First few days, Laurie goes, oh, you're bleeding right there. And right. I said, I know, hush. You know. So, but I'm honored to be ministering this morning. And I got some, you know, it's kind of light this morning. And I, because I need it. But it's kind of a two-part thing, so y'all bear with me this morning. And so it involves this because you need to know how God has shown up in this. Because a lot of times when we go through things like this, you know, it was funny because Joni told me when we were doing it, she goes, man, there's somebody on crutches and there's somebody on a knee scooter and look at me. And it's like, man, we're the walking wounded up. No, we're the walking healing. We are healing. Amen. So I'm going to get right into it because it's kind of a two-part thing. It's two different, but yet it's going to be one. So Carrie, you can name this what you want to. I put blessingly joyful. I don't know. The Holy Spirit was just, I thought I was listening, but that's what I got. On July 17th, I was out shredding behind my house. And it's pretty hilly back there. And so there was a rock that I needed to get out of the way, and I couldn't get the bucket of the tractor to it. So I thought, well, I'll just hop off a tractor, and I knew it was going to be heavy. I didn't plan on picking it up and shot putting it anywhere, you know. I thought, I'm just going to pick it up, just got it off the ground, about 3 or 4 inches, going to kind of swing it over under a tree, and I kind of swung it over under a tree, and I went, oh, that hurt. So I got back on the tractor and continued for about 30 minutes, and I thought, I'm going to run in and put some BioFreeze on my arm, because BioFreeze helps everything. Well, normally, BioFreeze feels good when you put it on. I put a little dab on there, and my arm started stinging. And I thought, that's not normal. And so I thought, I had taken my shirt off to put BioFreeze on. So I raised my arm up, and my bicep popped up there just like Popeye, and then it went, bonk. And I went, I don't think that's supposed to do that. So I went in Laurie's office, and I said, babe, would you? I said, I don't think this is normal. I did that. She said, oh, no, that's not good. So she said, call the orthopedic right away because I get a shot every once in a while. And so I called the ortho. Man, it was like it hadn't been 30 minutes after it happened. Well, you can't talk to anybody. You don't know if y'all have ever had trouble with medical people. You can't talk to anybody. You know, you got to make an appointment online, and it was over a month away. I'm like, a month away. This happened July 17th, and the appointment, in fact, I did cancel that, I think. It was August the 19th. It's still not even here yet. I'm telling you, God's showing up. And so one of our daughters who lives in Midland is a nurse practitioner, and I don't mix dad business and my medical and her. That's something I don't do. It's okay. But this one time, since it's like going to be a month, I thought, well, I should at least maybe have her look at it over over FaceTime. So I text her later and said, hey, would you call me when you get home this evening? And so I showed it to her, and she goes, oh, Dad, you tore your bicep from your shoulder. I went, oh, I did. Well, so while I was talking to her, she was on her phone, on her other phone, texting. And her best friend is an orthopedic surgeon. And she said, Pam is on vacation out of town right now, but she said when she gets back, if you have any troubles, that she'll be happy to see you and do the surgery in Midland. I said, okay, in Midland. Okay. So, well, okay. I mean, but it gives you a backup plan, you know. And we started doing what we're supposed to do is praying. Man, I get emotional sometimes. But when that happened, I knew something wasn't right. And I always remember when Sharon was sick, we prayed for miraculous recovery. That's what I started speaking over that right then. You see? So anyway, excuse me. I'd tell you it was the medicine I was on, but I'm not taking any, so. So after I talked to my daughter, she said, okay, Dad, see if you can get a hold of, you know, the orthopedic or whatever you want to do. Well, man, I laid there in bed all night tossing and turning, and the Holy Spirit's like, just go have her see what you can get worked out. And so we were leaving on Monday to go to Atlanta. I told y'all when I preached last time that we had been to Atlanta and Midland where you're finding out the truth of what part. I mean, I didn't lie to you. But so we went to Atlanta, and I told my daughter, I said, see if you can line me up an MRI. She said, okay. So I sent her all her stuff. We were in the airport, and she texted me, and she said, you have an MRI on Thursday morning in Midland at 8 o'clock. So we flew to Atlanta, and then we changed our reservations, and we flew back on Wednesday and to Midland. And then we had an MRI Thursday morning, and then we flew home from Midland. This is a week later, y'all. This isn't a month and a half later. This is a week later. I had an MRI done. And on Friday, we came home Thursday afternoon. God's so good because he's opening those doors. He's gone before me, and he's making that pathway. And then on Friday morning, we're home, and our daughter said, I got the results. The friend of hers, and they got the results, and they looked at them, and she said, she texted me. It was really funny. She said, can you lift your hand above your head? I said, well, yeah. Any pain? No. They couldn't believe I could still raise my arm above my head. You know, the way, because once they got in there and they saw the MRI, I had completely torn the bicep loose from my shoulder. I tore one of the rotator cuff, two of them, completely in two. And then there was another old tear that was just a partial tear. It wasn't no big deal. And there were some bone spurs and everything else in there. I went, oh, huh. Well, I guess I did that right, didn't I? So I'm thinking, you know, we talked and we prayed, and it's like, you know, what are we doing? She said, Dad, you know, and this is my daughter looking out for me. She wanted to know who my ortho was here, and she did her daughterly medical thing and checked them out, you know. Because, I mean, I appreciate that, though. I mean, because she's looking out for Dad. And she had her ortho friend check them out, and she said, if you can get surgery there, do. Because she said she's good. And she said, but if you can't, you know, if it's going to be a month away, because they said the quicker you can have it done, because that stuff doesn't start causing scars and stuff on the inside and make the repair much worse and make the recovery much worse. So if you can get that done, and I'm like, I don't know how to get through. Well, Alyssa and Celie's here today. Her friend, she gone to school with our orthopedic's daughter. And Alyssa told me, said, Dad, I have her cell number. Okay, so this is Saturday. God, you are so good. And I said, well, hey, would you reach out to her and see if she can get me in? And so she texted her that morning. Late that afternoon, she texted me back and said, Dad, I hadn't heard from her. She said, I don't even know if it's still the right number or not. I said, okay. She said, maybe you can reach out through the portal. You know, you got to go through a portal to talk to anybody anymore. I don't even know what a portal is. Anyway, so I reached out through the portal, but later that evening, Alyssa texted me and said, Dad, I just got a message back from her. I'm not going to tell you who she is. I will tell you, if you are interested in knowing who she is later after you hear all of this, then come see me and I'll highly recommend her. But she texted Alyssa and she said, yes. Alyssa told her what had happened. She said, I will see your dad. I will be back in the office on Tuesday. I will get him in Tuesday afternoon. They will call him Monday. Monday morning at 9 o'clock, my phone was ringing. They were going, you have an appointment at 2:15 on Tuesday. I said, thank you, Lord. See, God keeps showing up in this. And then I go see her on Tuesday afternoon at 2:15, and she goes, can you still lift your hand above your head? I didn't know. They showed me what the MRI looked like. I didn't know. I mean, there's tears here and tears. I don't know. But that seemed to be a common theme. And I said, and she said, I can tell you all these things that you can do. You have options. you don't do anything. You could not do that. You might, because I was, you know, I played for 2 weeks in church after it happened and didn't tell any, very few people knew. And, but it's the, with the three tears like they were, as bad as it was. And she said, and what you do, like playing, you know, and I said, no, I'm good. When, she said, we need to do surgery. And I said, when? She said, Friday. And I said, put me down. Y'all, do you realize this is 2 weeks? Mm-mm. 2 weeks. That's God showing up. Amen. See, he'll do what he says he does. We sow seed for this, y'all. We sow seed, not just financially. Yeah, that's fine, and you get back what you sow. But we speak this stuff. We speak healing every day. I speak I'm healed by your stripes in Jesus' name every day, whether I'm ailing or not. Amen. I've been sowing those seeds. And God goes, let me show you. Let me show you. Friday, my daughter in Midland asked me, well, Dad, what time is your surgery? I said, well, we got to be there at noon. They said they, and she goes, oh, you're the add-on. I guess that's a term, and that's a medical term. You're the add-on. Is that right, Trudy? You're an add-on. But I didn't care. God added me on. Amen. And so I know he went before me. And the neat part is she comes in and talks to Laurie and I before, and she's a tiny thing. She's petite, but she looked at me and she looked at Laurie and she said, I'm going to be really strict with him, Ricky. That mama tone, Ricky, I'm going to be real strict with you for 6 weeks. You cannot move your arm out of that sling. You can take it out to shower. You stay in that sling for 6 weeks. I said, yes, ma'am. She talked to us for a long time. Said, okay, this is where I pray with my patients. And she held our hands. And she prayed. And, you know, it wasn't one of them little, oh, Lord. Okay, thank you. Amen. No, she prayed, y'all. She prayed. And she prayed, God, it's your hands that are moving mine, not me. See, God operated on this, y'all. That's what that tells me. When she prayed, she said, God, it's not me who does this, it's you. And God, you guide my hands. See, that's God operating on Ricky's shoulder right there. Amen? Now, that's God in all this. Because I could have still went to Midland and had the surgery done. Don't know if it had gotten done any sooner. But God put us in the right place and the people in our path in order to get this done and on the road to recovery. He did that. That was not man-made, y'all. There's no, if you know all you people who are walking on crutches and on scooter and everything else, you've talked to probably many answering machines and you've been in the portal. My Lord. You know, it's funny because I'm moving into the message. This is really part of the message, though. And I'm going to stand up for a minute. It's funny because I've had people come up and go, oh, man, that's terrible. I'm so sorry. I go, it's a blessing. They look at me, what? A blessing? I said, it's a blessing. What do you mean it's a blessing? God blessed me because what I didn't tell y'all is that what she told us was that had this not happened like this, then in 6 months, sooner or later, it was going to get there and it would have been complete shoulder replacement. And she told me, she said, I don't know if you've talked to people that have had that, Ricky, but it is exactly what they tell you it is. It is not nice. Y'all, that's a blessing. praise God. Man, I shouted and hollered. And that wasn't just the pain I was shouting and hollering from me. So that's the blessing part of this. See, God didn't do this. There's people that go, well, I can't believe God let that happen. No, God, Ricky did it. I made the dumb decision to pick up the rock. See, God doesn't do these. God does what I just told y'all about. God went before Ricky and he made it very, what's the word? He made it very apparent to me that he was in control of everything. And I just had to get out the way and let him roll that carpet out for me to walk down. Amen. Woo, praise God. Y'all find Proverbs. So, as I was praying about this message, and the Holy Spirit really led me to share that with you. But then, he didn't stop there, because on that Saturday before the surgery that week, Laurie and I are sitting at the island and we're having breakfast. And I kind of chuckled to myself, and she goes, I mean, I do that often anyway, but she looked at me, she said, what are you laughing at? I said, oh, the Holy Spirit. She said, what? And I said, he just told me. He said, well, are you ready to learn? And I said, I told him, okay. He said, you're going to learn so much through this journey. And so what I thought was, is let's go down what the Holy Spirit has shown me through this journey. Because I thought, well, Holy Spirit, are you really, you want me to do this? He said, everyone is going through something. This, what we're fixing to go through, doesn't just apply to a shoulder. It applies to if you're going through something with a loved one. It applies when you're going, because the Bible tells us that we are going to go through things, y'all. And if some of y'all hadn't yet, well, guess what? I'm just saying, I believe what the Word says, because I've been there. And you know what happens a lot of times, the Holy Spirit told me this morning, is that when we're not going through something, we don't really know what to do when we get there. Because when we get there, we may pray, but then that's all we do is pray. It's like, when it hits, I mean, like when boom, all of a sudden, this is all like this, and it's like, I could have easily just freaked out, but I was more at peace about this than it surprised me, y'all. And it was really cool. I think it surprised Laurie. She was like, who are you? But so this is kind of, the Holy Spirit said, share this. And if you take notes, you might want to make this on a separate page, because this can be like, thank you, Holy Spirit. In case of an emergency, break the glass. Make this its own little deal. And then if you get into a crisis, you remember, wait, Ricky kind of, I remember that when he was going through something, he gave us some stuff. Amen? Amen. Did y'all find Proverbs? We're going to be chapter 12. Y'all can mark Proverbs, because we're going to stay there for most of the morning. There'll be a couple of places. The first thing that the Holy Spirit told me is you have to be teachable. See, he asked me that morning, Saturday morning, said, are you ready to learn? What would happen if I'd have said no? I would have missed out. I would have missed the opportunity to get and gain godly wisdom. So the first thing that I want y'all to get this morning is be teachable. When you get into a crisis, you've got to be teachable. Proverbs 12, verse 1 says, whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. Now that's what New King James says, is brutish. However, I like the Amplified. That's cowboy style for me. Whoever loves instruction and discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof and correction is stupid. My Bible says stupid. Now I know growing up, you kids, you know, it was all kids, stupid's a bad word. It's in the Bible. See, so when we are not gaining knowledge and we have access to that gaining knowledge and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to guide us or to correct us, then we're just plain being what? There you go. Does that feel good to say that? Because some of y'all won't ever say that again, probably. See, we have to understand that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to move us when we get into a trial or tribulation, when we're in a problem. See, when we don't know what to do, we have to be teachable. Man, I talk to my grandkids about that some. I say, it's coachable. You got to be coachable. All through your life, you've got to be willing to accept correction. You've got to be advice. You see, so be teachable. That's number one. In Mark, you don't have to turn there, but in Mark chapter 4, verse 25 in the Amplified, it says, "For whoever has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given, and whoever does not have a yearning for truth, even what he has will be taken." See, what that means is that if you have that thirst for the knowledge, man, Holy Spirit's going to just fill you and keep filling you. But if you are not willing to learn from the Holy Spirit or anybody, then what little that you've got, you're not going to use it. You're not going to be able to use it because you don't have anything to put with what you don't have. Amen? Does that make sense? See, what if you're not gaining anything, then you're losing. Because if you're not moving forward, y'all have heard that old saying, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And see, that's what it is. If we're not gaining knowledge, then we're going backwards, y'all. Amen? Oh, here's a good one. Number two, pride. Oh, has nothing to do with the pride that the world talks about. Amen? This pride doesn't mean that I'm proud of something. It's not what that is. What pride in biblically is pride in... And I'm going to tell you in verse, we're going to be in Proverbs 16, you can turn to. Pride in this verse means an excessive and arrogant belief in one's own importance or superiority. Can't be afraid or not willing to ask for help. Amen? So find chapter 16 in Proverbs. Chapter 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Ooh. Thou hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Listen what it says in the Amplified. Everyone who is proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Oh my goodness. If you've never thought about getting rid of your pride, that ought to make you do. That ought to make you do. And I know the reason for me that the Holy Spirit says you got to get rid of your pride is, well, you know, it's hard to do a lot of things like this. You know, you can't even button your own britches. It's okay, you can laugh at that. I do all the time, believe me. Man, you try to pull that toilet paper off the toilet paper holder to wipe your nose, and man, you make it runs across the floor. Hey. I mean, putting toothpaste on the stinking toothbrush. Y'all, the first 3 or 4 days before I figured out a system, I chased that toothbrush all over my counter. You know, and Laurie, oh, y'all will love this. I had surgery on August 1st, 4 days later. And we knew she was not happy that I chose to have surgery on August 1st, because I'm like, let's do it, let's get it done, because she had to go to Salt Lake City the following week for business. Excuse me. And so she was really unhappy because she couldn't be there to help. And so that morning she's leaving for the airport, and she's trying to get me ready, get everything done, and like, I'm trying to button my shirt, and she's standing there. And I'm like, I'm got one button, you know, and we're kind of like on the floor, or not really, because I can't get up off the floor. But, and she, I said, she reached over, I said, just let me do it. I've got to, she said, you can do it after I'm gone, but I'm in a hurry, and I've got to get you fixed. Now, move your hand. It's okay, you can give her a hand, yeah. It's... But see, there's something about getting rid of that pride and say, you know, it's like, babe, I'm give out. Would you help me? You know, because it's okay to ask for help. See, and when you're in a crisis sometime, oh, and here's the other side that the Holy Spirit also showed me was, is that when you ask for help, you should receive it. Now, what's important about receiving help is when somebody starts to give you help, you don't go, oh, that's not the kind of help I expected or wanted. No, 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 no. When you ask for help, you take somebody's help and you allow them to do what they're doing. Instead of getting that pride in the way, going, well, that's not what I... Well, no, it doesn't matter. You get out of your way and let somebody else help you. Amen? Because believe me, I have learned, and I still got little over, not quite 4 weeks to go in this thing. But I'm going to make it. But, you know, I'm learning. I learn a lot. I learn something every, man, not even every day, every minute just about. But we have, I mean, dads mowing and moms doing things. Carson came over and stayed a day and helped me. And, I mean, it, y'all, I mean, you know, there's three or four guys in here I've talked to that have had this done. And I guess we should form some kind of society or something. I don't know. We'll have to meet later about that, guys. But, and they know. But there's no place that you can get this comfortable. There's no, sleeping is just, there's not really any. Friday night, praise God, is the first night I've slept in 2 weeks. Slept, man, almost the whole night. I got up one time and slept. I mean, and then I thought, oh, more tomorrow night. I'm going to have a repeat. Laid down last night and it was gone. That's all right. We'll make it. It's okay because God's got this, but we have to get rid of that pride thinking that, oh, I can do this. I know all the answers. Ah, blah, blah. You don't. So get over yourself. Amen? I'm just saying, you love me or not, but you just get over yourself. And then things start lining up a whole lot easier when we learn how to get out of the way. Right, Rusty? That's right. I mean, that wasn't aimed at you. I was just needing some regret. I wasn't getting much help from you today. Verse 18. Wow. Chapter 16, verse 18. Said, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Amplified says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. See, there's only one thing that's going to happen that pride's going to get you into if you don't get rid of it. And falling for me is, you remember them old weevils wobble and they don't fall down? I do. So if I fall, then there's going to be, we're just going to have to get extra help that day to get me up. So get rid of the pride. It's all right. The third thing, wisdom. You know, James 1:5 says that we can ask for wisdom and God will give it to us liberally and upbraideth not. Man, see, when something like this happens, that's what we started doing. We were praying, we were believing, man, and in that wisdom of people that we talk to and people, oh, that's getting into the next one. I better stop. Well, let's just go there. What number am I on, y'all? That was three? Okay, number four. Seek counsel. Okay? Seek counsel. Turn to Proverbs number 1, chapter 1. Proverbs 1, verse 5 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." See, the Bible's telling us that when you're going through something, seek wise counsel. In the English Standard Version, Proverbs 15:22, and I love this because it's just real cut and dry. "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." Amen? So when you've been praying for wisdom, then you seek counsel. Seek wise counsel. You know, like if you're dealing with financial problems, you pray. You pray for wisdom. You seek counsel. But you don't call your buddy down the road if you're having shoulder problems to help you. It says seek wise counsel. Everybody say wise. That's right. Okay. Number, y'all have to help me. 5, willing and obedient. Oh, let me back up real quick to seek wise counsel. As you notice, it's through the story that I've told or the testimony or whatever, the fact and the truth is that we did seek counsel. You know, we saw and we got different views. We didn't just get one view. And everybody had the same opinion. So see, that tells us that God has gone before us. We prayed for wisdom. We seek counsel. Now, we've sought counsel. What do we do? Be willing and obedient. In Isaiah, a wise guy, and not a wise guy, but a wise man told me in Laurie one time, you have to be willing. You can be willing and not be obedient, or you can be obedient and not willing. But the whole scripture, Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. So when we put those into combination of willing and obedient in what we're going through and the wise, the wisdom, and seeking the counsel, and then we're willing and obedient and we follow through with that, we have miraculous recovery in what we're aiming for. Amen? Yeah. Man, I love it when it falls into place. Takes all the work out of it. Man. And I saw something as I'm going through all this, and it's funny because I had to investigate and make sure. But don't run the other way. One of the things I put down, and it's really not biblical, but it tells, but biblically it fits, that did you know that a buffalo, when it storms, runs into the worst part of the storm as fast as it can go? Now, and I researched this to make sure that it's true. The reason is because of what it's bred with, it runs to the worst part of the storm as fast as it can go because it gets through that storm the quickest that way. It goes to the worst part of that storm and gets through it quick. Well, why shouldn't we do that? Because we have God on our side. Amen? Because if we run toward that storm, we know God's got us. No, we don't run to it without being teachable, without getting rid of our pride, without seeking wisdom, without seeking counsel. See, we run to that, and then we're able to get right on through it, and then we don't spend time with all the stickers and the grass burrs and the thorns and the I don't know what all. Because who wants to be in the junk? Amen? And then some people get in that junk, and they don't understand how to get out because they didn't have, in case of an emergency, break the glass. But you do. Amen? The next thing is, these next three things, and then I'm getting almost to close. This is something, these next three things, is something that we did through we've done through the whole entire thing. Number one is to pray. See, just because you've been seeking wise counsel and you've been praying for wisdom and you start getting some, that, okay, God, I'm through. I'm not praying no more. No. Because in the midst of those trials, there's still going to be trials in the midst of those trials. 1 Thessalonians 16-8 says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." See, God wants us to pray. He wants us to rejoice all the time. Man, my phone, I got a playlist, and I don't know if Laurie, I know Laurie doesn't get tired of hearing worship music. She may get tired of hearing mine after a while, because I play the same playlist over and over. I don't get tired of it. And it's what I need right now. It's what I need right now. The second thing is to praise. Psalms 22 says, God inhabits the praise of His people. See, when I know that I know God's with me all the time, but then when I need Him, I need Him now, I start praising. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of this issue, I quit taking pain meds after 2 or 3 days. I couldn't do it. They were messing with me and they were tearing my stomach up so bad. So after couple of days of surgery, I could even quit taking Advil and Tylenol. And the pain, there was times. There was one time that I remember, and it was, golly, it was like the second or third night. And I was hurting. Oh, Lord, I was hurting. And Laurie's just holding my arm, just holding me, and she's going, "Sing." And I'm like, right, you want me to sing, huh? You know? And she's going, sing that song. And I start singing, "Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, 'cause there's something about that name." And she said, "Sing it again." And I sang it again. And y'all know what? That pain just started leaving my body. Praise God. Yeah. Praise the pain away. Praise the pain away. It happened one other time 2 days ago. My fault. She did something and I turned around and I ran into her with this arm. Oh. I thought I was going down. I couldn't breathe. She's going, "Breathe, breathe." I couldn't breathe. Oh, it hurt. Man, I thought, please, some. And she's going, "Sing, sing." And I started singing that song, and it was gone. See, whatever you're going through, I praise every day. I pray every day. Don't sell that short. Oh, I'm just singing and having a good time. No. When you start praising, God inhabits the praise of His people, y'all. He starts filling you up so that whatever you've been doing, whatever you're going through, whatever, He's going to lead you out of that if you start praising Him. Amen? You start putting that music on there and you start singing and the devil don't like that, he's going to get out your business. Because I'm so stinking tired of Him, I can't see straight. Every time he knocks over my stinking vitamin bottle and spills vitamins all over the counter, I can't blame him for that. I'd like to. But y'all, it does. This works in everything. It doesn't just work if you're injured. Or if you've got a broken heart, or if you're going financial trouble, or relationship trouble, or whatever kind of trouble, this works. I'm walking proof of it. Amen? Oh, here's the good one. Here's the third one. And I've done this since it started. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. It made me laugh. Holy Spirit, and y'all know, I've told y'all before, Holy Spirit, the way he deals with Ricky, he laughs a lot. Yeah, see what he's going to do now, you know. I got one arm. He's got one arm tied behind his back now. Let's see what he does now. But when he gave me count it all joy, he told me, he said, aren't you glad I didn't say count it all happiness? Because there's nothing happy about this. Nothing. Nada. But there is joy in this, y'all. I'm serious. There is joy in, yeah, it's hurt. All glory to God. It could have been a lot worse. Glory to God. I am healed and made whole in Jesus' name. And it works. My goodness, it works. As I was studying, count it all joy. And I saw different places where it said, you know, Paul was, some theologians cracked me up. Some theologians said Paul was the greatest Christian ever. What does that mean? I mean, really, when you stop and think about it, I want to be the greatest Christian. Doesn't mean that I don't make mistakes. Well, Paul made a few. I mean, I read the backstory on him. I don't know about y'all, but, you know, Paul was a little rough around the edges at times. But they considered Paul as one of the greatest. And I'm not saying he wasn't. That's just what I read. The Holy Spirit showed me this verse in 2 Corinthians 1:8. And in that verse, Paul said that he was in despair. Even the one of the greatest who could count it all joy in the midst of a prison, at one point in this scripture, and you go and read it, says that they thought they were going to die, and he was in despair. So what makes you think that if it's going to happen to Paul, it's not going to happen to you? You see, that's what happened to me a couple of times. That was despair, y'all. I'm not sure I thought I was going to die. It might have been I was hoping, Jesus, I'm ready. But do you understand that it happened to Paul? It can happen to you. But, there's always a but. But Paul also wrote in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. What a good God we serve. Amen. Oh, he is so good to us. So you can walk this out no matter if you're on a scooter, or are you in a sling, or are you on crutches, Rick, or you're having here heart trouble, and I don't mean physically, I mean broken heart, or you're having whatever kind of trouble, or your finances, this will help you. If you'll learn and get in the Word and follow this, this will help you. Amen? If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, then you don't know what it's like to walk this out. But I want you to know what it's like and what I have been able to see and to walk through. And so we never give anyone a chance to leave without giving them a chance to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus, if you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I beg you to right now. Man, you don't know. If you don't know that you know that you know where you're going when you leave this earth, man, then I beg you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. We don't do anything crazy. We're going to say a prayer, and I ask you to say it out loud with us. If you've never accepted Jesus, Confess it out of your mouth right now. And believers, I want you to say it with us. I want you to say it out loud so you can learn the spirit of this prayer. Because, man, it's our time, y'all. We got to step it up and we got to lead people to Jesus now. So if you've never accepted Jesus, I want you to do it right now. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. Father, I thank you that you died on that cross. And Jesus, you rose from the dead for me. Forgive me of my sins. Father, I want to know that I know that I know that I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. Thank you that today my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name. Before we say amen, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just accepted Jesus, if you just confessed him out of your mouth for the first time, I want you on the count of three to get your hand up. Real quick, we're going to get you a Bible, then you can put it right back down. On the count of three, be bold. One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? Okay. Y'all look at me. Everybody, then our job is, y'all, come on, let's get some people to church and get them saved up. Amen. Y'all have a good time.